you, Julie. I'd say happy 4th of July, but it's the 5th of July today, so take that in whatever way we want to take it. Announcements are clear in the bulletin. I think you have the ones that I have. We'll have confirmation here at the church on Wednesday at 6 p.m. And Zoom, we're going to discontinue the Zoom Bible study for the summer. We've had some trouble getting things worked out with the with Zoom on that. Some people haven't been able to get on, and some have had just all kinds of problems. So we'll resume that at a later date. And next Sunday is the church council will meet at 2. Also, I was told that Helen Strait is in the hospital, and we want to keep her in our prayers. And one of our young students, Andrew Goddard, was in an accident and had to have some surgery. He is home and doing well, I guess, so we'll keep him in our prayers, too. Are there other announcements? Very good. Then let us stand as you are able, and we'll turn to the thanksgiving for baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Day by Day is number 790 in the red book, but I think you have it printed in your bulletin too.
Day by day, your mercies, Lord, attend.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 9th chapter of Zechariah. The coming of the Messianic King will inaugurate an era of disarmament and prosperity. Because of God's covenant with Israel, the people are designated as prisoners of hope. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double, word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the Psalm 145 responsibly. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Lord, you are good to all, and your compassion is over all your works.
All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your faithful ones shall bless you.
They shall tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your power.
That all people may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all ages.
You, Lord, are faithful in all your words and loving in all your works.
The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down.
The second reading today is from the 7th chapter of Romans. Life captive to sin is a catch-22 existence in which we know good but do not do it and do things we know to be wrong. Through Jesus Christ, God set us free from such a futile existence. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at work with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. We are turning, Lord, to hear you. You are faithful and kind, slow to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus chides people who find fault with both his ministry and that of John the Baptist, he thanks God that wisdom and intelligence are not needed to receive what God has to offer. So Jesus spoke to the crowd saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and everyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Last week, I talked about the importance of our taking our concerns, our needs to the Lord. But equally important is for us to listen to what God has to say to us. Take our plan to God, but then listen to God's plan so that we can become and follow God's plan. Too often, we get so wrapped up in our plan that we forget what God's plan is. Today, our lessons drive us to a very hard word. And that word has to do with playing games with God. It's too easy for us to think that we can get by with whatever we want because, well, God will forgive us, of course. Or as the Jewish people said, we're God's people. He won't let anything happen to us. Well, today I want us to think about what it means to play games with God and why it's so important that we stop playing those games and return to the Lord our God. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up as a kid, we played lots of games. On our farm in northeast Nebraska, we fought lots of renegade Indians. We had battles with robbers, bank robbers. We were chased by headhunters, and we were able to avoid them. We fought lions and tigers. We swam in shark-infested oceans. We crossed rivers that were laden and filled with alligators and barracudas. Oh, it was a lot of fun. And when we got to the point, I remember one battle we had that was really fierce. I think I was killed at least 10 times. But when Mom called and said, Kool-Aid and cookies, we all got up, dusted ourselves off, and went into the house. And then afterwards, we went back out and played again. It was just a game. And we knew we'd get by with it. I mean, you shoot somebody and they come to life in a few minutes. There was always a signal that would let that happen. But then reality set in. I found out that one of my uncles had been wounded on a battleship in World War II. And then he died from the wounds. I found that another uncle was wounded in Korea. And he suffered from those wounds for the rest of his life. I found out that one of my cousins was killed by friendly fire in Vietnam. That came closest to home because I had played with him as a kid. And then I found out that the daughter of one of the members of my church was killed by a jealous boyfriend. Again, reality sets in. These things don't just go away. They are real. And it's the kind of message that Zechariah is trying to get across to the people of Judah. Remember last week and the week before, in fact, too, we heard Jeremiah the prophet warning the people of Judah that if they did not repent and return to the Lord, bad things were going to happen. And they ended up in exile in Babylon. Well, this week, we hear the other side of the story. They have been in exile in Babylon for 50 years. Now, the year that Zechariah is writing is around 537 BC. And Zechariah is talking about a time when they are coming back. At that time, Cyrus the Persian captured or conquered Babylon and took it over. And the people from Judah who were in exile went to him and asked if they could go back to their homeland. He was more than happy to get rid of them because they were a drain on his economy, and sent them back. He even helped pay for some of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And it's at this time when Zechariah reminds them, you got into exile because you were not following the word of the Lord. Repent now, as your ancestors did not do. Repent and return to the Lord so the same thing does not happen to you. And then he gives this wonderful picture of the Messiah, who is coming on a donkey and who is going to bring a period of peace. I would encourage you when you get home to read the rest of the book of Zechariah, because there is both this good news of what God is going to do for those who repent, but also the warning of what can happen again if they turn their backs on God. The Apostle Paul, in our lesson today, also says sin enters the picture and messes with us in such a way that we know what we should do. We know what God wants of us. And yet, we constantly pull away from God's will to do our own thing. And he concludes, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" If you've read the book or seen the movie Lawrence of Arabia, there is a scene in which Lawrence is a British military officer who is assigned to Arabia. And Arabia has been overridden by the Turkish army. And wherever they go, they wreak destruction and death upon anybody who's not Turkish. And he is sent there to help. Well, he helps with one battle, and then there's the major problem is on the coast, where they have set up a battery of guns to shoot down anybody who comes in to help the Arabs. Lawrence is leading a group across the desert, and it's a desert that even the Arabs say, it's impossible to cross. We'll die if we even try. But Lawrence heads his camel in the direction that he needs to go and takes off. And the rest of them say, well, if he's going to do it, certainly we can. And so they follow. Well, they've been out there for days in the hot sun. They've been suffering from the wind and the sandstorms and all of that. And it's 2 days away from the oasis that will bring them life. When somebody turns around and says, "Where's Jasmine?" Well, Jasmine has fallen off of this camel sometime in the past. They said, he fell off and we're just going to leave him. He said, "Aren't we going back for him?" "No, he's worthless. He's not even worth a half a crown." But Lawrence turns his camel around and heads back, goes an hour and a half further into the heat and the sun and the sand, and finds Jasmine, gives him his last drops of water, puts him on his camel, and takes him back. When they get back, they said, "Why in the world did you save a worthless person like Jasmine?" Paul says to us, that's what God did for us in Jesus Christ. When we were worthless, he saved us. When we were worth nothing, he died for us. When Jesus speaks to the people of Jerusalem and of all of Judea and to us, he says, so many people play a game with God. They don't play by the rules. They do their own thing and forget that God has rules of his own. And that we need to dance the Lord's dance. What do we compare this generation, he says, to people who are sitting on the sidelines and somebody plays the flute, and instead of sitting there, getting out there and dancing, they just sit there and complain. When people mourn and wail and weep, they just sit there and look at them as if nothing's wrong, instead of joining them and comforting them and loving them. Sidney Carter wrote the words to a song, an old Shaker song, and you probably know the song yourself, so I encourage you to sing along. I think it's printed, if you don't have a copy of the sermon, it's printed in there, but if you know it already, the refrain is fairly simple. I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced at the moon and the stars and the sun. I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced for the scribes and the Pharisees, but they would not dance and they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came with me and the dance went on. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high. They left me there on the death cross to die. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on a Friday and I, when the sky turned black, it's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone, but I am the dance and I still go. Wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance. Jesus calls us to dance. Dance not just any wild dance, but the dance of life with Him. Not play games, but play His dance. Someone has written that Christianity is one generation away from extinction. Now, during this COVID problem and this pandemic that we're facing, and I know that there are a lot of people out there watching on Zoom and Facebook and things like that, and I'm happy for that. But I hope that we do not forget that we together are the body of Christ. No matter where we are, no matter how far away from one place we are, the day needs to come again when we can gather as the body of Christ, sharing the body of Christ. There was a study done in 1952. That's a long time ago. In 1952, they said that 6% of the American public had no religious training. 6%. They did another study just recently. I don't remember what year, just not that long ago, in which they said it wasn't the 6% anymore. Now it's almost 70% of Americans have had no religious training. One generation away from losing it. We're not much different than the people of Israel. We're not much different than the people Jeremiah and Zechariah talked about. We too have to recapture and regain the ability to dance the Lord's dance and to pass it on, because that word needs to be shared with the whole world. One generation, just think of that. And now we need to teach our children and our grandchildren to dance the Lord's dance. May we do so in the spirit that God gives us. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's join in singing now. Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. If there are people you'd like to include in our prayers, I'll pause at the appropriate place for you to add the names. We pray for the church. Sustain us as we share your word. Embrace us as we struggle to find our common ground. Lift up leaders with powerful and prophetic voices. Free us from the stagnant faith. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for the well-being of creation. Protect the air, the water, the land from abuse and pollution. Free us from apathy in our care for creation and direct us toward sustainable living. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for the nations, especially the United States and Canada, celebrating their nationhood. Guide leaders in developing just policies and guide difficult conversations. Free us from patriotism that hinders relationship building. Lead us to expansive love for neighbor. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for all in need, for all who are tired, feeling despair, sick, or oppressed. Today we pray especially for Andrew Goddard and Helen Strait and those we name in our hearts before you now. Take their yoke upon you and ease their burdens. Give your consolation and free us from all that keeps us bound. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. We pray for this congregation. Bless the pastors and congregational leaders. Energize children's ministry, volunteers, our church secretary, and those who maintain our building. Shine in this place that we might notice the ways your love transforms our lives. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We give thanks for those who have died in faith. Welcome them into your eternal rest and comfort us in our grief until we are joined with them in new life. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray that the Holy Spirit continues to work amongst our joint call committee collectively and through each member individually. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through the Reverend Mark Stewart and Pastor Sarah Manning as they seek candidates for our ministry. We pray that the Spirit will move in the hearts of those potential candidates as well. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. We thank you for sending your offering to the church or giving through the offering plates here or through the online banking. It is making a major difference, and we thank you. So let us pray for those offerings. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you have not picked up one of the communion kits, I invite you to do it now. They're located at both entrances, but I think I see that everybody here has been on the ball. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. You reveal your glory as the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your eternal glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. To you, O Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Hymn number 697 in the Red Book, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.